just read again those verses. First Thessalonians chapter number 4, I'll read from verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died, or since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep through Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Those were the verses that were read the night that I got saved as well. And so we've got at least that in common, although maybe we've got a few years between us, John. Romans 10 and 9 as well. We'll read that again. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And just a final verse or two in the Old Testament, you don't need to look it up, I'll read it to you. It's in 1 Samuel, chapter number 7. We don't have much time, but maybe if we have a moment or two, we'll think about it. 1 Samuel, chapter number 7, and Samuel, verse 3, and Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your heart, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and serve the Lord only. And we look to God for his help, just for the last few minutes that remain. Those few verses that we've read tonight were the way by which I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour as well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, speaking about the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard a preacher speak on that when I was about 7 years of age. I think it was in November. And I went home having heard that the Lord Jesus Christ was coming back. And he left us a challenge that night, the preacher. He told us something that is true. You'll find it here in 1 Thessalonians 4. He told us that only those who were saved, only those who knew the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour, would go with the Lord Jesus when he comes back. Now, that little passage there in 1 Thessalonians 4, it really divides men as well as giving us a tremendous hope for the coming again of the Lord Jesus. There are people there in 1 Thessalonians 4 and they're dead. And there are two kinds of people that are dead. Maybe you think a dead person's a dead person. Well, not according to God, it's not. There are those who are dead and there are those who are asleep in Jesus. In other words, there's two different ways to die. Two different ways to die. I can die without any hope. I can die in my sins, as we've been reminded of. I can die very much the way that I was born. That is, someone with all of the faults and the failings and all of the tendency to sin that I was born with, and with a catalogue of sins that I have heaped up during my life, I can die with that. And if I die like that, I will, as John was reminding us, I will meet God. I will meet God. Do you know, young man, that you will meet God is the challenge that John was given. Do you know that you'll meet God? You will meet God. There are two ways in which you can meet him. You can meet him in your sin, in which case he will judge you and he will condemn you to hell. Or you can meet him with a Saviour. You can meet him with your sins having been forgiven. And here in 1 Thessalonians 4, the preacher that night was drawing that to our attention, that the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as being a great event, was an event that would divide men. It would divide men who were dead. It would divide men who were alive. And only those who belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ would go with him into his heaven and be with him for eternity. I was 7 years of age, and you don't need to be that old. And you don't have to know a lot to get saved. And you don't have to know all about this Bible to get saved. And you don't have to be religious to get saved. All you need to know is that you're a sinner. And the Spirit of God might just impress that upon us tonight, that we have sinned. And our conscience might remind us, as we've been reminded by the previous two speakers, our conscience might remind us that we're sinners. And that we might know that we're a sinner, and that we might see, as John has spoken about, we might see why Christ came. He came that he might die on the cross at Calvary for sin and for sinners. And that night I went home at the age of 7, and I remember in the darkness of my room down in Blackwood, I asked the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart. I didn't have any fancy prayer, and I didn't read any prayer that I was given. I just knew that I was a sinner, and I knew that Christ died on the cross for my sin. And I told him that night, you know, I said something like this. I said, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that if you're coming back tonight, I won't go with you. Will you save me? And I put my trust in a very simple way. As a 7-year-old boy could, I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I knew how to be saved because of Romans 10 and 9. And the reason I knew Romans 10 and 9 is because as a wee boy, many a weekend and many a day during the week before I went to school, I used to go to my granny's. And there's two or three verses I remember that my granny taught me. She died in 1977. So that's going back a wee while. But there are a couple of verses that I remember my granny taught me, and Romans 10 and 9 was one of them. The verse that John read to us. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. How can I be saved? Is it something I do? Well, if you'll confess with your mouth, but it has to go deeper than that, and both of our speakers were getting to that. Not just saying that we're saved, and not just putting our hands up, but Romans 10 and 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart. It goes on in here. It's not in the words that we say. It's not in any fancy prayer that we might have. It's not in anything that really we might do. It's really the simple trust. A childlike trust. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about that, coming as a little child. A simple childlike trust in the power of Christ to save me. A faith that Christ died on the cross for my sins. And the moment that faith is exercised, we're saved. The moment the woman, you remember the story of the woman with the issue of blood, the woman who was bleeding, and she stretched forth her hand and she touched the hem of the garment of the Lord Jesus, and straight away the Bible says, immediately, the blood stopped. Why? Was there power in that garment? There wasn't anything in that garment. It wasn't any religious icon, that garment. It was the faith in the person that saved her. Immediately, as soon as that faith was exerted, she was saved. And there in Romans chapter 10, the means by which we might be saved, how we can be saved, by faith in the person of the Lord Jesus who died on the cross for our sins. I read in 1 Samuel, chapter 7 was a section of the Word of God that came to mean much to me later on in my life, actually. And we'll not go into too much detail about it, but I draw it to your attention tonight because 1 Samuel chapter 7 tells me about some of the things that might stop me being saved. 1 Thessalonians 5, why I need to be saved. Christ is coming back and I will meet God. I meet him either as a sinner or I meet him as saved. Romans 10 and 9, how I can be saved. I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And here in 1 Samuel chapter number 7, things that might stop me from being saved. There were two things there, you know, that stopped the people of God getting to grips with God, that stopped the people of God coming to God, that really interfered with them, with their relationship with God. Those were things called idols. Idols. Two idols in particular that afflicted the people of God back in 1 Samuel 7. An idol called Ashtaroth and an idol called Balaam. These were things that would keep them away from God. Tonight, you might not have an idol in your house. You might not have some kind of statue you bow down to. But there are so many things in this world that attract us away from God. Anything that keeps my heart away from God is an idol. And it comes between me and God. It can come between me and salvation. Anything that distracts my mind. We live in a world of distracted minds, of brains that are taken up with things that just don't matter. That God Ashtaroth that distracted the people of God way back then was a God that was involved with sexual immorality and prostitution and sexual iniquity. A bit like the world that we live in today, obsessed with sex and perversion and all of that kind of thing. Balaam was a god that men and women worshipped if they wanted to get rich. He was the man, he was the god supposedly who would give you good crops and he would give you offspring and he would make you prosperous. Money and sex were the two things there in 1 Samuel 7 that were obsessing the people and keeping them away from God. Immorality and material gain. It's the same today, isn't it? The things that keep us away from God. It will keep us away Romans 10 and 9 tells me how I might be saved. And 1 Thessalonians 4, as we've heard already, tells us why we must be saved. For we'll meet God. And it might be sooner than we think. But 1 Thessalonians 4 tells me that not only when we die we meet God, we often think about that, but that could happen tonight, that Christ could come back. There is nothing yet to still to happen before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that indeed could be this evening. I wonder if we're ready tonight to meet God. Shall we pray? Our Father, we come before Thee, we give thanks for Thy word. We thank Thee, our Father, for the experience of coming to know the Lord Jesus. And we thank Thee, our Father, that the simplicity of that experience has just been presented this evening. And we pray, our Father, that that might grip our hearts. We thank Thee, our Father, for the great need of salvation. And we think, our Father, even of the reality of meeting Thee. And we pray, our Father, that that might indeed burden us tonight about being ready to meet God. We know, our Father, that we live in a world and it constantly distracts our mind from thinking about spiritual matters. It constantly distracts our mind from the reality of meeting Thee, from the reality, our Father, of our sin and of the brevity of our life. But we pray, our Father, tonight that by Thy Holy Spirit Thou would focus our heart and our mind upon our need of Christ. And we ask, our Father, that that lovely verse, Romans 10 and 9, would just be impressed upon our hearts, that if indeed we should confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. And we thank Thee indeed for that promise. And we return thanks now, asking for a blessing upon Thy word, for we ask it in Jesus' name.